the Super Speedway.
Welcome to episode 312 of the Super Speedway podcast, recorded Tuesday, March 19th, 2024. I'm your host, Eric Young, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, James Cush. James, how you doing tonight?
Oh, man. I'm pumped.
Yeah?
I'm pumped.
Good.
That was Eric. We're going to get right into it.
We're going to right as well. It's the only thing we got to talk about tonight.
Yeah, we got to get right into it. That was so much fun.
It was a blast.
That Bristol race was fun.
Yeah.
And I said, I was texting with a buddy of mine who's been watched a lot of F1. Now he's watching NASCAR. So I'm like, this is good. And I said to him early on, I said, nah, the track will rubber in. It's not going to stay this way. Boy. And that was, I think, lap 25-ish.
Right.
Boy, was I wrong.
You were almost as wrong as Tyler Reddick's pit crew who decided to leave him out on old tires.
Holy cow. They must have been the only team that didn't know the tire thing was going on.
He was on DBC this week, and he's like, yeah, you can do that. Normally you can race a stage like that.
The key word, normally.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow. Eric, do you remember, I am trying to think of a season that has had banger after banger this far into the season. We haven't had a stinker yet.
I mean, you must be forgetting that we raced at Phoenix, right? I mean, it wasn't a banger.
But even that wasn't...
It was an okay race.
Yeah, but it wasn't... I mean, if Phoenix was what, a B, right?
Yeah.
That's the worst race so far?
No, I seem to remember that since we've been doing this podcast, we had another season that took off that was really, really great. I don't remember which one it was, but...
Maybe it was 2020 because we were starving for...
I don't know. I don't know. But, I mean, it doesn't happen very often. Let's put it that way. Not to pee on your parade, because it doesn't happen very often. So you're right. I mean, it's talk about an upswing. And then we're going to go to COTA this weekend and probably ruin that.
Yeah, I know. That was kind of the where I was going with the joke. But I...
Maybe it'll rain there and we can run through the rain again. And that'll be exciting.
It could be. Oh, God. That was... Remember when Martin Truex Jr. went to the moon?
Yeah.
I'll never forget that.
Yeah, well, we could have seen that we could have seen that this weekend.
Well, Zane Smith tried to...
Oh, my God.
...go to the moon, too. But was that the ARCA crash of the season?
Yeah, that was like, hey, guys, wait for me.
Yeah, the whole field checked up, and there he comes bowling in into poor Tyler Reddick.
Like, I mean, oh, I know, man. Zane Smith is a rookie, but, like, he does know that cars slide to the bottom at Bristol, right? I mean, I don't know what he was doing.
I don't know where he was going, but, you know, Eric, we totally missed that your favorite driver won this race, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, Dennis.
Dennis got it done. So, here's the thing, though. Denny... He's self-proclaimed not the greatest driver in the world. He's said before that he doesn't have the natural talent that some drivers have, that he has worked hard to get where he is, blah, 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 blah. But I mean, to have somebody who can manage the tires and run as well as he did in this race, James, I mean, I know we give Denny a lot of crap, but obviously he ranks pretty damn high up there with drivers that have some really good experience and are really great drivers in our sport, because not many of the guys could do that this weekend.
No. And you look at the top three.
Yeah.
And it's old school.
Yeah.
It's Hamlin, it's Truex, it's Brad, you know, guys that drove with horsepower and navigated this race to perfection towards the end. I mean, you know, and Denny said it, and you know, my natural instinct is to always say, well, Denny's just saying that, he's just doing the thing. But Denny said this was a driver's race.
Yeah.
And it was the first time that it's been in the driver's hands in a long time.
Certainly since we've gone to the next gen car.
Well, exactly. And I want to push back on that, because I'm always thinking that Denny's, you know, pushing his agenda, which he might be, but he's not wrong. Like,
yeah.
Denny Hamlin, you don't get to as many wins as he has in the Cup Series. He's over 50.
Right.
With, you know, he's not a slouch. He's a great. He's an all-time great. And Martin Truex Jr. is an all-time great. And Brad Keselowski is an all-time great. And there's your, you know, there's your podium right there.
Speaking of speaking of 50 wins, did you see the Joe Gibbs, his introduction to Denny and during their toast, their winner's toast?
That he needed to buy new pants?
Yeah, maybe he'll be able to buy some new pants.
That is such an old man thing to say. I probably would have said that joke, too. That's a good one.
I mean, the pants were pretty rough. Denny, come on, dude. Rough. You're not young. Like, what are you wearing holy jeans? Holy whitewashed jeans for? Right. Like,
well, he's older than me.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
I believe he's a couple years older than me as well, I think.
Isn't he? Yeah. How old is he? He's 40. Is he 43? Yeah.
So he's
1980. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's a year old. He's a year older than me, dude.
Yeah. So, dude, come on.
Yeah. I don't wear whitewash holy jeans. I mean,
nor would you.
To be fair, Denny's cooler than I am. So,
well, I mean, that. You do wear.
Denny does hang out with MJ. I mean,
he does hang out with MJ. He must be pretty cool, right?
Right. Yeah. He's got to be.
I got another buddy of mine who watched the Netflix show, and he knows. He knows some of my feelings on some Denny Hamlin stuff, and now he's rooting for Denny Hamlin.
That's great. I love that we are making Denny Hamlin fans.
That's fine. I made Ross Chastain fans too, I think. So yeah. That's I'm doing a thing apparently. So, man, I'm telling you, I don't know, but listen, man. I know it's fun to pick on Denny because he asked for it,
right?
And he wants it.
Yeah, he does.
But the guy's great, and he ran a great race. You know,
he wasn't my pick to be able to pull that off, though. I mean, I honestly really thought Josh Berry was going to be somebody that you could watch out for because he's probably the freshest at managing your tires in that whole field.
And he was good. And I know, you know, the guy who didn't get the finish he deserved. You know, we're talking about all this experience and toting these guys, but Ty freaking Gibbs.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's coming, man. It's coming.
I thought this weekend, sure it was going to be Sunday. This weekend could be it. Could be that this weekend. Yeah, I thought for sure Sunday was his day. I mean, he won the stages and was looking pretty good, but, you know, again, push came to shove there in that last stage, and it was just, you know, they made a mistake. And, you know, everybody was having problems, but, you know, they made a little mistake and, you know, the mistakes that weren't made by the 11 and the 19. I mean, you know, Christopher Bell's team had the same issues. They stayed out a little long and, you know, tires are going way too fast. And I think, you know, that last stage too, Eric, I think NASCAR decided, we're going to hold on to the flag.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to.
Well, they did. They held on to the flag in two ways, because one, they held on to the flag when they were under caution. Well, they really took their time when they were under caution going back to green, because they certainly didn't want to run out of tires. That was the biggest thing. NASCAR didn't want to run out of tires in this race. No matter how great the racing is, if they ran out of tires, they look like idiots. So they made the right decision there. And yeah, they put the flag away. We can talk about the Hosovar thing. There was a long discussion on DBC this week about it.
Yeah, I'm assuming you listened to that, but I don't know, man.
Did you see Carson's tweet?
I did.
Carson claims it's because he didn't know which pit road he was on and had to go an extra lap, basically. Which, if you look at the in-car video, looks kind of legit. I mean,
he didn't spin the car out on purpose or anything like that.
Right. Yeah. You know? I didn't have any issue with it.
And at one point, he got up into the marbles really bad. And it's like, well, what are you supposed to do? You can't. When you're in the marbles and you throttle up, what are you supposed to do? You're not going anywhere. You know?
I mean, it's NASCAR Jesus spoke, and he said it's fine. So it's fine, James. Junior says it's fine. Junior says NASCAR made the right decision, so we're good.
Redneck Jesus. Yeah. NASCAR Jesus. Yes. Yes. All hail.
But
all
no,
hail Dale. Praise Dale.
I didn't have – watching that replay back, watching the onboard back from Carson, it didn't look like he's trying to get a caution. He's trying to manage his car. Could he have been on the apron? Yeah, probably. But I don't know how well that thing's going to turn on the apron, to be honest.
Right. Right.
So,
yeah, I mean,
I don't know. And I'm sure he would have liked to have the caution. Sure, he would have. But he wasn't doing anything blatant.
Right, right. And I know, that's a good point that you made, too, because we ran almost 100 laps of caution.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, the stage cautions were an extra few laps and every time we needed a caution. And then at the end of the race, that last stage, I mean, we went, I mean, Eric, we went green flag 121 laps.
Would you have thought that we would do that? I mean, that's nobody spun.
Well, some guys went 70 laps on that last run.
I know.
Larson,
and that just goes to show you that if we went back there this weekend, if we went back there, these teams would go, they'd go 100, 150 laps easy on these tires.
Yep. Yeah. And the Gibbs cars, the Gibbs cars had the setup.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you have to have the right, you know, like Denny said, great drivers, yes, but you also have to have the car in a place. You got to have the car that can put the drivers in the right position. And the Gibbs, you know, for a majority of that second stage and basically a lot of the race, you know, Gibbs was 1, 2, 3, 4. they had the guys all there.
You know who else too? You noticed the Rick Ware Racing cars were running really well, and it was pointed out in another podcast that that team probably did not have as aggressive of a setup in their car as the top teams, because they can't afford to do that. They can't afford to tear stuff up. So that made their stuff last longer. Of course, they did run into issues still at the end because of pushing it and inexperience and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But still, they ran up front all day as a result of that. So, you can definitely see it. You could definitely see where the aggressive setups were and who was aggressive. And, I mean, look at Kyle Busch, the king of Bristol. He was fast and too aggressive and they end up with tire issues multiple times. You know, he was pretty much the first one to have them every time.
Right. And the front row guys, you know, Todd Gilliland at one point, I know he had trouble late as a lot of the guys did, but Todd Gilliland was up there. Mike McDowell was solid. Chris Buescher, who, you know, I'm looking at my fantasy lineup and obviously at the beginning of the week, it's like, yeah, you got to have Chris Buescher on.
Right.
Then you look at practice and qualifying and go, no, I can't have Chris Buescher on there. Methodical, just drove calmly through the race, never had any major problems, and ends up with the top 10, you know, and it's like, yeah, there's some teams that just were on it a little bit more so than others. I'm kind of looking at the bottom of the standings and it's like, yeah, I got a lot of Penske guys, Harrison Burton, Austin Cindric, you know, the 2311 guys missed it a little bit. Obviously, Tyler Reddick for other reasons.
Yeah.
But, like, Joey Logano wasn't good.
No. I mean, they've been terrible.
Ryan Blaney was around, but when it went bad, it went really bad.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was just one of those days. You know, Eric, I don't know at what point NASCAR is going to, you know, take fan consideration into account, but we've all been saying for so long, like, we want to see tire wear,
right?
And you know, this was the extreme version, probably a little too extreme. I think Kyle Larson definitely clarified that today too. I saw that he said, you know, his comments post race where he hated this and we shouldn't do this anymore, and what he was trying to say is he backtracked it more than anything. But he said what he was trying to say was tire wear is great, but this was too extreme by about 30 to 50 laps. But if we can get these tires to balance out and get us to 80 to 100 laps, I think we're in a really nice sweet spot. And that includes, you know, we've got Richmond coming up. I know we're not excited about it.
Right.
But if we can get a little tire wear there, how great would that be? Same with Martinsville.
Yeah, but here's the problem, though.
Oh, go ahead.
The problem is nobody knows what the hell they did.
Yeah, I know.
They don't know why it did this. I mean, it's the same. Supposedly, it's the same tire, although there were drivers that insisted that it was not the same tire. But it's the same tire. It's the same tire code. D5170, D5206. Same tire code that they ran in the fall. Temperatures, I know a lot of people talk about temperature, but temperatures were similar. We had rain in the fall, so it was cooler and rainy. We had the resin instead of PJ1, but
that seems to be the consensus.
Yeah, but I mean, why does that affect the upper groove, you know?
Well, that's the thing I'm
and
puzzled
it did,
by.
We didn't have an issue in the truck race either, and from my understanding, I think the compound was similar with the truck. So
yeah, I don't know why. I guess I can't fathom why the tires didn't grind into the track,
right? Joey Logano at least ran last year's set, because the sets that they mounted at the end of the race were from last year. They had one set left from last year, and supposedly had the same issues with last year's tires. So they legit are the same tire. So if we can't replicate it, how the hell do we have enough data?
Hopefully we have enough data that maybe we can figure it out.
And Jayski has it on his site, Dr. Deandra Leslie Pilecki at Building Speed, talked a little bit about it and basically said, once NASCAR and Goodyear realized that these issues, she suspects that they did a lot more testing on things they can only test at the track. So she said, I'm sure they did more friction testing than usual after the race so they can compare the conditions with those after the fall 2023 race. NASCAR always does friction testing before and after the race. Once they realized there was something different, I suspect Goodyear's tire engineers made more temperature measurements than usual. That's data that they can only capture at the track during the race weekend. So, you know, hopefully they learned something there, but they sure is. I mean, they had a press conference halfway through the race that basically was, we're sorry. But not.
Yeah, during the race. And I'm like, don't be sorry. This isn't a bad thing. It's okay. No, there's, you know, Eric, you know I don't believe in conspiracies, but I have a conspiracy.
Okay.
Like, if you'd like to hear it.
Yeah, I'll take it.
What was the conversation all week going into this race?
Horsepower, right?
Horsepower, yeah. What's the conversation after this race?
NASCAR says we soak the tires in a compound and we're good to go. We don't have to worry about horsepower anymore.
Goodyear, do us a favor. Make the tires really wear, and then we don't have to hear about horsepower anymore.
I mean,
deep down in my soul, and listen, I know NASCAR and Goodyear can't turn tires around that fast,
right?
But deep down in my soul, I really want to believe that there's a large conspiracy that NASCAR had wanted to get out of this horsepower conversation, so they had with these wicked tires brought into Bristol. But
to be fair, there have been drivers that have been saying that the tire is the other answer. And I think, Denny's been saying, I think Junior's been saying it too. They proved that this weekend. They proved that with the right tire, we can fix this issue. So I want to go back to first thing that started hitting social media, and I watched the race live this weekend, which was awesome because I could follow social media and gauge.
You were tweeting up a storm, I was excited, man.
I felt like Dale Jr. and he was so excited. He was tweeting up a storm too.
I know,
but I could follow and gauge, you know, the levels of, you know, what the fans thought during the race as it went on. And of course the first stuff that started flowing was Indy 2008. So how is Indy 2008 a failure and this is a success? What's the difference?
Well, it's 10 laps and having to throw mandatory cautions.
Right.
I think
the difference is that when you blow a tire at Bristol, you're not hitting a wall at 180 miles an hour.
And these guys weren't necessarily blowing tires.
Right. That's true.
They
would eventually loud. Though.
Eventually they would. They were
Carson Hocevar blew a tire.
Carson Hocevar blew a tire. Kyle Busch blew some tires.
Yeah. Kyle Busch blew several right rears.
Yeah, he did. And he did the cold trickle again.
Which, yes, of course.
I think he took the opportunity to make sure he got that in there. The tires were failing before the explosion for the most part. Guys like Ricky Stenhouse, they had other issues going on. But
yeah.
But the Brickyard thing, I was talking about this with somebody this weekend as well. That Brickyard thing was so, that was so egregious. I remember that because it was so bad. Like, we couldn't, I mean, they were bringing tires in from Pocono, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they were struggling big time. And they couldn't even make it 10 laps.
But here we are, 15 years later, and we're just now finally getting over the black eye.
20 years.
Yeah.
I know.
The black eye that put on Goodyear in the sport, and that race there is the reason. And as soon as people
killed the Brickyard,
I tweeted it. Yeah, I did. I tweeted it as soon as people started saying Brickyard. I said, "Shut up! That is why Goodyear is afraid to do this, because the soon as there's tire issues, people immediately, and it's like this is not the same thing." Like I said, the biggest difference is I don't think you can have an aggressive. And don't get me wrong, you said it earlier. This was too aggressive. This is not what we want. This was awesome to watch, but we don't want this. We do want a tire that lasts longer than this.
You got to get the pendulum
right
into a more consistent place. It can't be swung too far to one extreme or the other. This is teetering right on the red line,
but we
where you want to bring it back to green just a little bit.
We can't do this at Atlanta. We can't do this at Las Vegas. We can't do this at Kansas. But the good news is we don't need to do that there, because that racing is good right now. The racing that's bad are the short tracks, and this could fix the short tracks without having to pump a bunch of horsepower. Because that's the same thing, like the horsepower discussion. Everybody wants to go back, wants to put 200 more horsepower in these cars, but we don't really want to put 200 more horsepower in the cars on the mile and a halves, right? Because the racing's good there. Right.
Yeah.
So we don't want to screw that up. So let's keep that where it is. Let's work on the tires here on the short tracks, and we fix the issue.
Go ahead. I think the funny thing too is we were talking about short track package all right last week too, and we go to Bristol with no new short track package,
right?
And we see this incredible, like, a NASCAR spent all this money and time trying to figure out how to improve the short tracks through aero, and it's like, oh yeah, the tire.
I still want to see them not put any freaking resin and PJ1 or whatever on the track and see what happens at Bristol now.
Yeah, now it would be interesting, yeah.
Whether it would migrate back to the top again, it certainly wouldn't with this tire, because there's too many marbles up at the top for you to run the top line.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, James, only thing you could have done to make this race better, the only thing you could have done is put dirt on the track.
No, God.
I mean, that would have been the cake. No, just kidding.
Oh, I'm so glad. I feel so vindicated that died.
Yeah.
Now it's dead. Dead forever. Dead and gone.
And I'm going to make a really quick point, because I said we weren't going to ever discuss this again on the podcast, but I want to bring it up because I'm getting so annoyed with it. And Breakheart actually this week had a really good explanation on this. And he does, I don't always agree with him, but when I do agree with him, he does a good job half the time. People bitching about the attendance there.
It's fine.
If Bristol is half full, it seats more people than most of the tracks in the circuit. Like,
that was a 60,000 person crowd.
The only difference is that all the other tracks have torn stands out, and you can't tear stands out of a stadium. You know,
yes.
They've torn out as many as they possibly can at Bristol, and there's still a lot of seats there. And you just short of a complete reconstruction, you can't take them out. I'm sure that SMI is wishing that they had about probably 20 rows off the top of the grandstands here, and they had the suites lower. And that would solve the issue, but you can't do that. You have, because there's suites around the top. There's no construction that you can do to remove stuff to solve the issue. So shut up about the attendance. The attendance is just fine at Bristol. This race was better attended than the dirt race. It's better attended than most of the spring races have been. The only thing that irritated the piss out of me this weekend was the pre-race, which I watched as well. Or at least part of it, and how much Fox was patting themselves on the back and talking about how great it was to have dirt gone and be back on the concrete. You idiots are the ones who brought the dirt in the first place.
Right, I know.
Come on. I get it. They got to champion it because it's their race. But come on. You are the reason. And I like the dirt. Again, I don't like it at Bristol. I want dirt. It's not at Bristol. And I don't need the dirt in the cup cars either. I mean, if we have a race like this, trust me, I forgot all about dirt.
Yeah. I mean, I tweeted out this week after the race and said, the only place that we can race on dirt is in Rossburg, Ohio. And that's it. I won't accept anywhere else.
Yeah. 1,000%. There's no other place. Good.
Yep. I'm good with that. If they said that, I'd be happy. Other than that, I'm not worried about it.
Yep. I agree. What else with this race? Ryan Blaney, you mentioned him. He got questioned about Ross Chastain by frontstretch.com. on pit road, and he stormed off and said, "I'm sick of being asked about Ross."
There's a storm of brewing, I think.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah.
How about
a little bit of a? Are we seeing Denny Hamlin Ross 2.0 a little bit?
I think so. I'm good. I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
Blaney's getting pushed to a point where I haven't seen Blaney. You don't see Blaney get fired up too often.
I mean, he does in the car, but outside of the car, not usually.
No, but the look on his face said it all. He's a little fired up.
Yeah, he is. How about the worst feud in NASCAR, James?
Oh God,
the worst feud in NASCAR. Eric Jones and Chase Briscoe, because Eric Jones had the wrong phone number for Chase Briscoe. Did you see that?
Yeah. I
Whoops. Chase changed his number, and Eric was texting Chase, and Chase wasn't answering him, and Eric was pissed. And he had the wrong number. So I guess that feud's over.
Hopefully that feud's over. Maybe they got ice cream or something.
Oh, man. I thought that was pretty funny.
That is really funny. Maybe, Jeff and Jordan talked about that in the teardown. It was good.
Maybe instead of texting each other, you should just go talk to them.
Oh, my God. They almost, can't live that like far apart. Almost
like the old days, right?
Yeah, they can't be that far apart.
Right?
And those are two guys I really like. I wish they wouldn't feud.
Yeah.
But feuds are fun.
Can I eat some crow for a second? I know you'll allow me to do that.
Oh, I love eating. Yeah. I mean, I eat a lot of crow, so it's good to have you have some. Enjoy.
So I worried at the end of last season that Kevin Harvick wasn't going to bring what we needed to the booth. And I was 10,000% wrong.
He's good.
Kevin Harvick as a broadcaster reminds me of Dale Jr. as a broadcaster. First of all, nothing seems to be off limits for him. Listening to his podcast, watching clips of his podcast, the stuff he talks about, he went very in depth with the feud with Chase Elliott at Bristol. There's tons of inside information he's giving. He's doing a terrific job of, he is the TV guy now. He is not the racer anymore. He doesn't, Harvick was one that, he was very calculated with what he would say. Like, he would keep stuff in and not answer questions unless it worked for his agenda. And now he's an open book, which is awesome. And not only that, but he and Clint did such a great job of talking through what was going on Sunday. Without them in the booth, I think Junior could have done the same thing. But without those two in the booth, it would have been a mess to watch on TV and you wouldn't have known what you were watching. But they were so good at explaining what it is. And Harvick's been really good all season about explaining things that are happening. And he's getting more comfortable now, too.
I'll give you one more additive to that. He has brought the best out of Clint Bowyer.
Definitely.
He reins him in.
Yep.
And I thought Bowyer, to his credit, was really, really good on Sunday.
Yep.
Bowyer did a good job in the wrong hands, that race could have been viewed as a disaster in the broadcast booth, but Bowyer did a great job explaining why this is exciting.
And they didn't sound like they were being too big of cheerleaders.
Right. They did a good job. They kept it balanced and they were good. Yep.
Yeah. That was good. Dare I say, without Junior in the booth this fall, I want to keep Fox out. I'm going to enjoy this Fox broadcast right now because I think the booth at Fox is the best it's been in years.
Fox has not done a bad job this year. For all the crap that they get, they have not done it. Although their commercials, their commercials, they really...
Be clear, Fox has not done a bad job with the Cup Series this year.
Well, and the ratings are good. I mean, the ratings were up 11%.
Yeah.
Again, I mean, I know there's some other stuff going on that's contributing to the ratings being good, but I mean... They went up, but they've been the most watched live sporting event every week since the Daytona 500. I mean, they're crushing it.
Yeah.
It's been really good so far.
And I tried to pay real close attention this week, and I think they took some of the criticism about the close-up shots and stuff, and they still did it, but they had a lot wider shots. They did a better job of capturing more of the action, having more cars on camera this week than I've seen in the past. So I think we're heading in the right direction with Fox. Of course, the second half of the season, I'll hate the fact that their truck crew isn't in the booth anymore and they're in Charlotte. Oh, so.
just wait till they're all sprawled out at COTA this week.
Right.
Let's see. That'll be a real test.
That's true. But yeah, I got to give props where it's due. That booth right now, like I said, since the early 2000s, before Darrell Waltrip went off the rails and became a caricature of himself, this is the best Fox booth we've had since then.
Yes. Yep.
So, if only we could get Larry Mack in the booth, if we could get Larry Mack back, I would love that. But
I know,
but at least we get our Larry Mack. We get our dose.
Larry Mack's doing his best.
Yes. Yes. Yep. There's nothing wrong with what he's doing. I would always take more of Larry Mack. I think the guy's so damn smart. Like, he's so smart.
Oh, I know. Yep.
So,
yep.
Trying to look at other people that performed well here that stood out. You mentioned Brad Keselowski with third place finish. Alex Bowman with a good run, fourth place. John Hunter Nemechek, best finish of his career in sixth.
He had a good day.
Ty Gibbs, ninth place finish. Not indicative of the day, of course.
Yep, great day.
137 laps led for Ty Gibbs in this one.
Yep.
Like I said, real soon that boy is going to be in victory lane. You mentioned the front row cars. They performed well. Josh Berry had a great performance this weekend. Not just during the race either. Qualified second. Very good run for him. I've been impressed with Stuart Haas, James. They're not as out to lunch as I thought they were going to be.
No, same here. You know, they've got guys hunting for top tens every single week. I know they want to be a little bit higher than that, but
yeah,
they're not 15th to 20th. They're 5th to 10th, you know, for the most part, for at least two of their cars are hunting, you know, every week.
Yeah.
So, and Chase Briscoe's had he's been strong. He's been carrying the banner a little bit. So no, they're okay. They're doing okay. I think they're, you know, they're surviving right now.
This was the first bad weekend really for Noah Gregson.
Stepped on my ding dong there.
Yeah, he was out of it. Yeah. Byron, bad week for him.
Did you see the Gregson interview on one of the, I think it was Front Stretcher, one of those guys?
He was
back to his, man, I just didn't do a good enough job thing. And I mean, I felt for him. I felt for him because he was.
Well, you got to. Yeah.
You know, when your teammates run well, when you got a teammate that runs, you know, as well as Josh Berry did and you blow tires, I mean, yeah, you probably feel like you screwed up. But I mean, William Byron finished second to last. So.
Yep. He'll be okay. He'll be fine.
He'll be good. But I mean, I just don't. Hopefully Noah doesn't get in his own way again. You know, stay positive. Keep doing what you're doing. Don't get down on yourself.
I think he was excited. He got Bass Pro Shops back on board, and yeah, you know, things were looking like they were in a pretty good spot for him. He'll be okay.
It's one race. Okay. One race.
Yep.
I mean,
let it go.
He's certainly not racing to get in the playoffs right now. He's still buried in the points.
Yeah, and he's basically restarted his rookie campaign. Yeah. So let's just be patient, and the same for him. I mean, and I'm talking to him. Like, be patient, man. You're gonna be fine.
Yep.
You know, no worries there.
52nd victory in 655 Cup Series starts for Denny Hamlin. First victory of the season. Fourth victory and 18th top 10 finish in 34 races at Bristol Motor Speedway. Josh Berry, highest finishing rookie with his 12th place finish. Kyle Larson is your points leader technically, but he's tied with Martin Truex Jr. for the lead. Track record high of 54 lead changes, most since April 14th, 1991, when there were 40. And the number of leaders matched the previous record of 16 from April 9th, 1989. That's incredible. And they were legit passes. Like it wasn't because of pit stops. They were legit passes, and I get it was strategy and whatnot, but still that's legit. So I wanted to say, we talk all the time about gimmicks, James, and gimmicks. Was this race a gimmick? Yes, but every single race that we have is a gimmick because they're all, unless we ran a race with no rules, it's all a gimmick. It's all manufactured. These wins, the way the race goes is always manufactured. There's no way around it.
That's right.
So but this was the most natural way of playing one out that I think you could have. And we had what, five cars in a lead lap at the end of this thing?
Yeah, I know. It was weird. It was really weird.
But it was awesome because it wasn't like a runaway either, you know. It was just such a great race, man. I
know.
I hope
comers and goers, man.
That the fall race is half as good as this one. I'll tell you.
Yeah.
And me just too. To prove that the was it a good race poll is garbage, this race got in the 80s, which is ridiculous.
I'll keep saying it. That poll does more harm than good.
Yeah, I agree.
Its existence. That's
agree.
It. That's all I'll say.
I agree. Denny Hamlin wins a race, you're not gonna get a 90%. It's just not going to happen.
No, I know. I know. Eric, speaking of Denny Hamlin.
Yeah.
52 career wins.
Oh, yes. We love this.
Yeah, I know. I love doing this to you.
Oh, we do.
He is 2 behind Lee Petty.
Dang.
And 3 behind Rusty Wallace. And then after that, he gets creeping up into the top 10, where he'll run into Kevin Harvick with 60, Kyle Busch with 63. And then next on the list is Dale Earnhardt. So that's the company. I don't think he'll ever get to Earnhardt. Earnhardt's at 76. That seems, I don't know, 16 more wins? That doable?
No.
If Kyle Busch isn't getting to it right now,
What do you think Denny's got left? Three years?
Good seasons? Ah, boy. He's at that age where it can turn on him at any time, man.
I'm just saying, how much longer do you think he's going to do it?
Oh, wow. Now he'll probably do it another. He'll do it for three. I would say if he's got another two full seasons of quality, like championship contender, I think that's probably asking just about the right amount.
Right.
You put the over under at two. I'm probably taking the over because he seems to have some longevity. But
I don't know, man.
It's in that. Ballpark.
Denny's now locked in the playoffs, and he's driving a Toyota, and the race finale is at Phoenix, where the Toyotas are good. It might be his year.
Yep.
Might be.
That's the thing. You got to get there. But
yep. Got to qualify first out of those four, and then you get that good pit stall.
He is the. This is also one of my favorite things. He is the first driver on the list, on the all-time wins list, without a championship.
Of course, he is.
He's in first place. He is in third of the drivers who are not yet in the Hall of Fame, behind Kyle Busch and Kevin Harvick, who are their locks. Denny Hamlin is also a lock.
Yeah, Denny's a first ballot.
He'll be the first
ballot. The only way he's not a first ballot is, I mean, if he and Kyle and, like, somebody else retire at the same time, maybe he falls out. But
I know,
like, him and Kyle and Joey, I don't know. I mean, like,
I was, like, doing the career comparison thing, and I've always said, like, I'd rather be Brad Keselowski than Denny Hamlin because I've got the ring, but Denny Hamlin's also got the 500s. It's to the point now where Denny Hamlin is put together. I mean, 50. Yeah. He's in the. I mean, that's rare air.
In the chase era, especially in the playoff era, that ring means less than it used to. It just does.
Yeah.
You know, I really think that NASCAR needs a stat for final four appearances. I really do.
Possibly.
I think that is almost as big as winning a championship at this point.
It's a new way to gauge it. Yeah.
Anything else with the cup race before we move on to the trucks?
No, I think that's it, man. What a show.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a joy. Thank you, NASCAR.
Let's just cancel COTA and we'll go back to Bristol this weekend.
Yeah. Run it again. Run it back. That's what we would do in the pandemic, man. We just go places wherever we could.
Exactly.
We didn't care.
Yeah. NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series, the WeatherGuard Truck Race. Christian Eckes gets the win, holds off a late charge from Kyle Busch. Kyle claimed after the race that he let him go and then just let him get too far away and couldn't catch him, which anybody else I'd probably say, oh, come on, he's just being a sore loser. But it's Kyle Busch at Bristol. So
kind of believe him
there. 105 laps led by Kyle Busch, 144 by Christian Eckes. Not a surprise. Christian Eckes dominated this race in the fall as well. So
he's pretty good.
Yeah.
Christian Eckes is pretty good.
Yeah. And he's good here. So
only three guys led laps in this race. And,
yeah.
Zane Smith gets in there with one.
Right. So. But I didn't feel like it was a bad race. The racing was more beyond, you know, in the back of the pack or in the field, but I thought it was a decent race. Decent enough that we had a little scuffle on pit road afterwards. Stuart Friesen decided to be pissed off at Nick Sanchez because Stuart Friesen wrecked himself. What is it with Nick Sanchez getting beat up because of drivers wrecking themselves off his front bumper?
I don't,
because Crafton did the same thing.
I don't know, because Nick Sanchez didn't do anything wrong.
Maybe it's the smile on his face when they're yelling at him. That could be it.
Could be his hair.
He's got that Joey Logano smile when people are yelling at him.
Yeah, he kind of does. Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, Joey's definitely got a punchable face, so maybe Nick's just got a punchable face.
He's not like a punk kid.
No.
I don't know, man. It's weird.
No.
I don't know. Stuart Friesen, though, overreacting. My God.
Yeah.
I mean, you made a mistake. Own it.
Yeah.
And he won't. I don't think he'll come out and say, oh, I made a mistake.
Yeah, that's on brand for Stuart.
Oh, God.
Speaking of Matt Crafton, fourth place finish for him. He almost won this race.
He was around. I haven't seen much of Matt Crafton lately,
no.
But that was a good, yeah, that's a good point.
Really good run for him.
It was a good run for Matt Crafton. Well done.
Rajah Carruth, another good run, eighth place finish for him.
He's putting it together now.
Yeah. Got a good ride, man. That Spire truck's going to be good.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Can you believe Matt Crafton hasn't won a race since 2020, and he only has one win since 2018.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, his second to last win was the dirt at Eldora, right?
Yeah,
I was there.
Since, yeah. He won in 2017 and he won a race in 2020, and that's it.
Yeah.
Matt Crafton, 15 career wins. I've got questions. I've got questions. That's all.
I mean, that's the truck series. He's got championships because it's the truck series.
He's got, yeah.
And he didn't, I mean, Matt was one of those guys that he tried to move up and just didn't have it. And found a home in the truck series. And I guess, you know, that's the good thing about the truck series is, yeah, it's a great place for the Christian Eckeses to grow their talent and move up. But it's a great place for somebody like Matt Crafton to make a career, or, you know, Mike Skinner, or, you know.
Johnny Benson and
Jack Sprague. Those guys that just couldn't make it at the big levels. It's
Hornaday.
Yeah. It's a place for those guys to succeed, and it's good to have that. I mean, I think that's one thing the truck series is really lacking. And I think that's why the truck series is the series that it is right now, is that it's lacking that veteran talent. You know, it's lacking the Jimmy Spencers who go down and retire in the truck series.
We talked about this, I think, last year. And I can't remember what the reasoning was, but we had a kerfuffle between an old vet and a youngster back then. Might have been Matt Crafton. And you and I I think we came to the conclusion, like, well, yeah, when you've been around as long as these guys have, like Crafton and Friesen and them.
Yeah, it was Crafton at Talladega last year with Nick Sanchez.
I think you're right. Yeah, I think you're right. And I remember this because we were talking about the discrepancy between the old guard and you've got guys in their 40s and 50s, and then you've got these 19, 20-year-old kids, and there's not really a middle.
Yep.
So it's, you know, it's going to lead to some, you know, old dog, new dog.
Yeah.
You know, like we saw on Saturday.
Yeah.
It's going to happen from time to time.
Christian Eckes, that's his sixth victory. I guess I didn't realize he had six wins. Sixth victory in 95 Crash and Truck Series races.
Yeah, he's becoming a little bit more prolific. Now, he hasn't made the Final Four yet, so that's like the next thing on the list for him. But yeah, he's starting to put it together. He's got something. I'd like to see him get into the Xfinity series here sooner rather than later, but
yeah,
you know, he's definitely, he's been around a long time in the trucks now, and, it's time to, I mean, he's never made an Xfinity series start, and it's time.
Where's his path into the Cup series? He's right driving a Chevrolet right now. Where does he go?
Aspire. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know many Chevy openings.
No. I mean, I guess who knows if he's locked in with Chevy or if he could jump ship, but I don't know where you go.
Go Toyota. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, I guess Chevy, if he's going to go to Xfinity, there's Junior Motorsports.
I mean, he was with Toyota for a long time because he drove for Kyle Busch and Mike Kerb. Yeah. I don't know, man, because if guys like Austin Dillon aren't getting out of the way
he's got to be getting out of the way soon, though, right?
I don't know.
Dylan's got to have just a couple more years.
I don't know.
Dylan's on the Ben Kennedy route, except his family doesn't own NASCAR. They own a team.
The fact that he did not win this or did not wreck in this race on Sunday was a miracle.
Yeah.
As bad as his years, and that's not like a plight on him.
Right.
He's just had that kind of year. Like, he just finds his way into everything.
He tried. He was right in the middle of a couple of them, but
he was in that one. Yeah. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. He did. Yeah.
Let's see. Lane Riggs, top finishing rookie in the truck race. 10th place finish for him. Tyler Ankrum is your points leader. 17 points over Corey Heim in the Craftsman Truck Series. There you go. That's Bristol Motor Speedway for you.
Sweet.
What a weekend.
What a weekend. Man. I don't know if we'll ever see it again, but enjoyed it while we had it.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Let's talk about the news. Okay, we're done with that.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything. The only thing that we had that we were going to talk about, maybe a little, just a little bit, because we don't know what the announcement is until tomorrow morning. By the time you hear this, you'll probably know what it is.
Right.
Hendrick Motorsports let out a teaser today.
Yeah.
Of somebody tightening up their shoes with skeleton gloves, hinting at possibly Dale Jr. getting behind the wheel, but we have no idea what this means.
It's not going to be Dale
Jr. Eric says Dale Jr. throwback.
It's going to be a Dale Jr. throwback. It's going to be lame.
My high hope is that it's Dale Jr. running at the All-Star race, but
that seems to be the consensus on social media, but that is, there's Dale Jr.'s not getting in a Cup car. There's no way. No way.
My Dale best Jr. guess would probably be
Dale Jr. barely will get in the Xfinity car because he doesn't feel like he can perform to the level those guys are. There's no way he's getting in a Cup car.
Yeah, I would say he would probably be best suited for an Xfinity ride if I had to guess. If I had to bet money, it's probably an Xfinity thing for Hendrick. But
I think it's because Darlington replied to it with the eyes, emoji. It's a throwback for Darlington. Somebody's running a Dale Jr. throwback at Darlington. That's what it is. It's going to be that lame. And I don't see Dale Jr. in that suit, James. That doesn't look like Dale Jr. to me.
If Dale Jr. is involved, it's got to be better than something stupid. But
have you seen the teasers that Junior Motorsports has put out for drivers this year?
I know. And everybody freaks out that Carl Edwards is coming back. Yeah. And you have to remind people.
That organization is the worst at this whole driver tease BS that turns out to be nothing that I'm so sick of.
RFK did a decent job of trying to take that.
It's so stupid. They're getting the clicks. That's what they want. They want the engagement, and they're getting it. But it's getting old.
Yep. Hey man,
it's never as good as what we hope it is. You know what? I bet you what it is. I bet you it's Dale Jr. NFTs.
Maybe. Maybe. I wonder how that's working for Smoke.
I don't know. Maybe maybe Kyle Petty knows.
What the fuck has Kyle Petty got to do with this?
I just want to use that audio. I love that audio. I was looking at the
Eric, I rewatched the teaser video. That is the National Guard on the pant leg. That is the National Guard.
But it's not
Guard.
Dale Jr. In that suit. Dale Jr. is taller than that.
But you can see the National Guard logo.
You know who it looks like to me?
It's legs. I don't know who it's going to look like.
It looks like Justin Allgaier. I know it's not because Justin Allgaier is not going to do anything.
But
with
it's Hendrick Motorsports.
I know.
Coming from Hendrick
Motorsports. It's not Justin Allgaier. So who's short at Hendrick Motorsports? Kyle Larson?
I don't think he's short. I don't know what this is.
They look short. Their legs are short. That Dale Jr.
Other
taller
race
than
car
that.
Driver has short legs.
Dale Jr. is taller than that. That's not Dale Jr.
It's just legs, Eric. You can't see above the knee.
No, I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. You wait. It's not Dale Jr.
Gosh damn it. You know, damn it. Why are we doing this? Why are we wasting our time?
I am going to be watching at 9 a.m. tomorrow. I'm going to be on Twitter.
Did you see what I tweeted?
No.
I went to the North Wilkesboro website and I copy and pasted the NASCAR All-Star Race returns to racing's roots at historic North Wilkesboro Speedway. I'm trying to manifest it.
Yeah. No way. Not in a million
years. It'd be more
years.
Fun.
Not in a million years.
It is a National Guard thing, though. I can see the flag.
It'll be a National Guard car, Dale Jr. throwback for Darlington. That's it. Telling you.
Probably.
Telling you. I'd put money on it, but I don't want to lose.
Either that or Dale Jr. is going to run an Xfinity race for them.
Yeah, but why would Dale Jr. run an Xfinity race for Hendrick when he's got his own
team? Maybe they gave him
a good
deal. Who knows?
Now, he's only running his one or two races that Hellman's pays for.
It is the same fire suit. I don't know, man. I don't know.
It's not Dale Jr. You're right about the fire suit. You're right. It's National Guard. I think you're right.
I know.
But it's not Dale Jr. James, they're not going to put the gloves and have it be Dale Jr. That's too obvious. Keep dreaming, man.
We'll
keep dreaming.
I guess
you don't
we'll
even
find
care.
Out.
That's the best part. You don't even care. You're not even a junior fan.
I know, but I still want to see it.
Yeah, it'd be cool. But I don't. Just there's no way. And I'm trying to remember the All-Star rules. He's not a full-time driver, so he's not locked into the All-Star race. He'd have to run the Open. He's not going to do that.
Nobody knows North Wilkesboro better than
he's
Dale
not going to run the Open and the chance that he won't make the All-Star race.
He walked that track and took the weeds out.
Oh my gosh. He was driving around it with his rental car the other day too, or his car.
There you go.
Checking out the groove. He was all excited about how wide the groove is down in 1 and 2 because coming down the hill, he was giddy driving around that track.
He's just us with money.
He is.
That's it.
He is money and fame. I love Junior. So much bigger junior fan now that he's retired than I was as a driver.
Yeah, he's the best, man.
And I liked him as a driver, All right. We go to Circuit of the Americas this weekend, now that we've put it off long enough. All three series in action this weekend, James. The NASCAR Cup Series, the Echo Park Automotive Grand Prix is Sunday, 3:30 p.m. Eastern. NASCAR Xfinity Series is the Focused Health 250 on Saturday, 5 p.m. Eastern. And the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series runs the XPEL 225 Saturday at 1:30 p.m. Eastern time, we get the doubleheader with the Truck Series and the Xfinity Series on Saturday again. With that, let's make our picks for this weekend, James.
Can't believe Xfinity Series is going off at 5 p.m.
I know.
That seems
yeah, but it's 5 p.m. Eastern. It's Texas, so they're what, an hour?
Yeah, you're fine. Okay, they're fine. Yeah. They're fine.
They'll have no problem. No problem.
I know. I'm over here in Michigan where it's always dark and gloomy. So. Yeah.
Well, plus the time change, so it gets dark later anyway. So.
That damn time change. I got to tell you, quick rant.
Oh, yeah.
Time change with kids. Oh, my God.
Dude,
time change with kids is the worst.
My problem isn't even the kids. It's just me. It's ridiculous. I'm still catching up trying to get where I'm not going to sleep at 3 o'clock in the morning.
There you go. Yeah, it's getting harder every year. The older I get.
Stupid. We don't need to change the time. Just stay on daylight saving time all the time. I don't care if the kids have to go to school in the dark. Toughen up.
I went to school in the dark.
Yeah. I walked both ways uphill in snow. Yeah.
35 miles.
Yeah.
Every day.
With no shoes.
Yep.
James, who's your pick for Coda this weekend in the Cup Series?
Oh, I get to pick first?
You get to pick first. I think so. I think you do.
Oh, this guy's going to bounce back
from
Bristol. Tyler Reddick.
Tyler Reddick. All right.
Tyler Reddick. Remember last year, him and Byron had a little bit of a shootout, if I'm not mistaken. Was that last year? Yeah, that was last year. And then Chastain won the year before that. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, Tyler Reddick.
I was going to go out on a limb and pick Chase Elliott, but I changed my mind. I am going to go with Tyler as well, but I'm going with Tyler Gibbs. Ty Gibbs gets his first win this weekend at Coda.
I never heard of him referred to as Tyler Gibbs.
I know, he probably isn't, so.
Yeah. I don't know else what Ty would stand for, but yeah, right? Ty Gibbs.
Ty Gibbs this weekend. That's my pick.
The first three races at Coda, just to give people, if you're thinking about it for fantasy, Tyler Reddick has a win. He's led 21.7% of the laps. He has three top 10 finishes. Ross Chastain, a win, three top 10s, three top 5s. He has led 17% of the laps. I will be considering Mr. Reddick. Or excuse me, Mr. Chastain as well.
Yeah.
William Byron, no wins, but he's led 14% of the laps. Looking at road courses really quick. Chase Elliott still.
Yeah.
Reaping the rewards of the previous car, but he's
yeah, but he ran best bet. He ran good at Indy last year too. So.
I have another name I'll throw out there that you may not think of, but he's pretty dang good. Chris Buescher.
That's a good one, yeah.
He may not lead a bunch of laps, but the dude, since 2021, on all road courses, he's racked up 10 top 10s in 18 starts. That is tied for second in the Cup Series, behind only Tyler Reddick.
Isn't Mr.
Shane Van Gisbergen
in the race this weekend, too?
He is racing. He's pulling double duty.
There you go.
Mr. Van Gisbergen will be there. Justin Haley might be a decent one to think about, too. Oh man, I gotta go back to the entry list.
You know who you
we've got some
who you shouldn't pick. Don't Who's pick that? Bubba Wallace.
No.
He's better at road courses now than he used to be, but don't pick him.
He's getting better.
He's getting better, but don't pick him.
Yeah, there's some good ones on this list.
Save Bubba off the fantasy lineup for the mile and a half, guys.
We have Kobayashi in the third 2311 car.
Yeah,
in the number 50.
Not gonna do anything.
Remember when Jensen Button was running? Where'd Jensen Button go? He's
I don't know.
Should we consider Kaz Grala?
Mm.
No, maybe not. Nah. Oh, Eric, part-timer,
Jimmy
AJ
Johnson?
Allmendinger.
Oh, AJ Allmendinger.
No.
Is Jimmy racing this weekend?
No Jimmy Johnson.
No Jimmy?
No Jimmy.
Okay.
AJ was going to win this race 2 years ago until he got Rossed.
Yeah, but I don't think Colleague's got it right now.
No, and that's where Van Gisbergen's going to be running.
Mm.
He's running a colleague.
Van Gisbergen's not going to win this race either. Pencilman for a good chance at Chicago, but that's I don't see him running well.
I think he'll be probably top. He'll be top 10, I think.
Yeah, top. Oh, yeah, definitely top 10. Maybe top 5, but he ain't going to win this race.
These guys
You're probably right. It's probably going to be Tyler Reddick. If we were competing this year, I would definitely want to choose Tyler Reddick.
Yeah, yeah. But this is a good crop. I don't know where it's going to play out and who's gonna pit when and all that other crap. But
did they move the restart zone back? Have they announced that?
They moved that. Yeah, it is back. It's towards the corner. Yep.
Okay.
So guys are gonna be accelerating from the mid pack through that corner. That's gonna be interesting too.
Yeah.
Keep an eye on that.
Do you think it will cut down on the chaos in turn one?
No.
I think there's still you come to a dead stop. I mean,
I played F1 23 yesterday with my buddy.
Yeah.
And we have a two person career going.
Gotcha.
And we raced at COTA, and it's a sprint weekend in F1. So I learned from the sprint race, and man, did I get him. I got him on that, up that hill. He had the pole. I was second. I went from the outside, cut to the inside. Oh, it was beautiful.
Nice.
And then I crashed on, lap five. So
I'm struggling on the F1 23 because I think it's because I've got the PlayStation Portal.
So it's more fun with people.
I've been playing on the Portal, and there's a lag on the Portal.
Oh yeah,
It's not much of one, but it's just enough for F1 that it's too much, I think. So I haven't played it on a TV. I honestly, since I bought the PlayStation Portal, I haven't touched the PlayStation on the TV. The boys play on the TV, but I don't. That's the only game that I just can't seem to play on the Portal. I can play everything else.
It's a tough game, man.
I did pick up after playing it on the Switch for so long. I finally pulled the trigger. They had a sale on it, and I got the World of Outlaws game for the PS5 as well. And man, is that a pretty game. That game just that eats up my day. I can play that game all day long. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
Great game. Can't wait for those folks to bring out a NASCAR game next year. That's what we need. That's what we need. How about Fantasy League, James? How'd Fantasy go this week? I held down ninth place real nice.
It was wild, let me tell you. I don't know. I didn't really check in on it because I was too scared. But I did.
I watched the race live and forgot to look at my bench.
I did bench Chase Elliott for Joey Logano. So because I was worried about the voltage issue, I shouldn't have worried about that. You did beat me. P1, Hendrick Flair. Team play number two was Tandem Draftona. And number three, Smoking Grill Racing. That's a new one. Nice. Eric, you were ninth. I was tied for 10th with Ranger.
I had Chris Buescher in my garage, but I had Kyle Busch on my lineup.
I'll come back to fantasy in just a minute. I got another thing I'm going to say about it, but overall,
should I not look at who's in the fantasy then? Should I save that?
Yeah, save that.
Okay. I'll save it. All right.
I got a black flag I'm going to use. Team Justin is first, and then Fast to the Grass second. Cole Custer's Last Stand is third. But we're tight, man. Team Justin has 953. I'm fifth with 894. Eric, you're not that far out. You're eighth with 873. So, gosh, man, there's only a 100-point difference between first and 10th, 98 points.
I was proud of Baron for running away with it last year, but it's nice to have it be a race this year.
We're battling right now. People don't seem to have have balance just yet. So, but yeah, all the way down to 15th even has, you know, Freight Train's got 800 points. So, it's fairly tight right now. We're kind of messy at the moment. So I like it. Just like the Real Cup Series season, we got guys all over the place. Right. I'm in my standard fifth spot. So I'll be there. I'll be there until about the All-Star break, and then I'll move up, and then I'll be stuck in third and second, and that's where I'll end up.
Hey, I'm doing good. I'm in eighth. I moved up out of ninth, so.
That's good. Jeez.
Any checkered flags this week, James?
Yes. I forgot to do this last week.
Yeah.
Mr. Tony Stewart had his Top Fuel debut. Yeah. And I thought it was pretty cool. They've been putting out some content on it. Yeah, he's ripping and roaring in the NHRA. So, didn't get out of the first round, but you know, that's okay. That's okay. Yeah. I've been kind of keeping an eye on it. I'm not really watching it religiously or anything like that. So, but pretty cool. I wanted to throw a checkered flag out that way.
I'll throw a checkered flag out for Dale Jr. Not that he needs it, but just being excited on social media this weekend, tweeting about the race and being so excited they jumped on Door Bumper Clear this week as well. Cool to see him making the rounds and championing the sport. I mean, this guy, he's not even employed this year for NASCAR other than as a team owner, and he doesn't need to do what he's doing, but he's playing the game, man, and doing what he can to promote the heck out of the sport. And I'll give him a checkered flag every week for what he's doing for sure. So,
yes, sir.
How about black flags? I got a nice long list, but I have to look because I think I probably used up about most of them. Throughout, actually, I think I used all but one. So,
did you write down a list?
I did write down a list because I didn't want to forget them. So my That's list, great. I'll go through what I went through already. The Carson Hocevar move, I have that. Zane Smith piling into Tyler Reddick, I have that. Eric Jones with the wrong phone number for Chase Briscoe. Stuart Friesen mad at Nick Sanchez because he wrecked himself.
Yep, got that.
And Fox patting themselves on the back for the dirt going away at Bristol. So those are the ones that I had on my list. I'll let you go, and then I'll jump in with my final one.
You did. You covered the whole thing. Nice work. going back to the fantasy league,
yeah.
I have a troll.
Yeah, you do.
Watermelon James.
Love it.
Entered the league this week. Not only did he enter the league, he or she, I don't know who this person is.
So you don't know who it is?
Not to awesome. My knowledge. That's not to so my great. Knowledge. It's probably somebody who has to be somebody I kind of know, right?
You would think so. I mean, they're a longtime listener and they know.
Well, I tell you what, I got a rival. Watermelon James not only comes into the league, but also beats me this week. So,
what if it's your wife?
It can't
so
be.
Funny. I know it's not, but it'd be so funny.
It can't be. No, it can't
I wish be. I'd have thought of it. I wish I'd have thought of creating somebody just to razz you.
What a troll job.
It's awesome.
It could be you for all I know.
It's not me.
Or Todd.
It's not me. I can promise you it's not. I don't know who it is either. But I am a huge fan of theirs.
It does kind of tickle me a little bit that we have somebody.
It's good stuff.
Watermelon James. Huh.
It's awesome. Love it.
Pretty good.
Love
somebody
it.
Must I have watched the Netflix show and became a fan of somebody. I don't know who.
When you posted in our group chat that you had a troll, and I was so giddy when I went to the list and saw the name. Love it.
I know it brought joy to your day when you saw that.
It did.
I hope they remain
anonymous because I love it.
Yeah, love well, it. We'll see. They joined the league late, but as far as I'm concerned, I'm down 0-1 right now. So
I hope they come back and win, and they have to reveal themselves on the show live.
Oh, that would be really good. It's too bad they didn't start the season with us.
Right.
But we'll find out.
Too bad we can't just give them some points to put them in the running, but they got time. They can come back.
Yeah. Give them like the league average or something.
Yeah, they're not going to win, but they'll beat me. I mean, they can beat me. So
yeah. Watermelon James. The look on my face, let me tell you, when I opened up the league standings and saw that, and the look on my face was probably, I probably should have had the camera going. I didn't know it was coming, or I probably would have, but I know you probably enjoyed the visual of that probably makes you happy.
Oh, so. Yeah, for sure.
There you go. Watermelon James.
My other black flag, I actually struggle with this because I could go black flag, I could go checkered flag on it. I'm kind of debating as to which one it is because it's terrible, but great at the same time. And it's Jeff Gluck's rap this week on the Teardown. I actually
give it both.
I listened to the Teardown this week. And it's funny because I stopped listening. There was like 5 minutes left to go in the podcast. And I'm like,
oh yeah, he waited till the end.
Yeah. I was like, well, okay, I'm going to switch over because I think Denny's podcast had come up too. So I'm like, I want to listen. I was driving into work and I had a couple of minutes left and it's like, I don't want Jeff's to end too early and for me not to be able to start the next one. So I wanted to have enough rolling of the second one. So I switched over with 5 minutes to go because I'm like, they're done. They did their – was it a good race poll? We're good to go. I can move on. And then I saw the social media of the video of the rap, and the video is even better than the rap itself. It is so bad. I mean, it is terrible. But it's also really good. First of all, the writing actually is not bad.
You have to admire his effort.
Yeah, like I couldn't do what he did. And I certainly couldn't go all in. I mean, he went all in. I mean, he's playing the
part.
He had
the jacket on.
He might not be good at rapping, but he definitely can play the part. And I gave him props on Twitter today for doing it because I would not have put myself out there like that. And so you got to give him props for that because he knows he looks like a goofball, but that's okay. But yeah, I was actually really impressed with the lyrics and the fact that I watched it on social media. They had, the subtitles up too, so I could actually read what he's saying. So there was no mistake. So yeah, props to Jeff and also major black flag for the rap that we'd hoped wasn't coming without dirt, but we got it anyway. And he did call out Jordan for where that Jordan bought the pink suit from Amazon, which apparently is a big deal.
He did.
But yeah, it was good stuff. Love those guys. I love the fact that they're on Dirty Mo. Dirty Mo's given the extra promotion with the social media stuff.
Yeah, they're doing a good job.
You know, love Jeff, Jordan, hate them, whatever. Those guys have paved the way for people like us. Jeff especially has paved the way for people like us. Without Jeff, not that mm-hmm. he did anything specifically, but the fact that he did what he did made us go, oh, you know, we could do this. That's how yeah. we can get involved.
Absolutely.
If Jeff didn't do what he did, we wouldn't be doing this now. So props to those guys. It was hilarious. And Jordan's face throughout it was awesome as well.
I know. It's good stuff.
I really wonder if Jordan knew it was coming or not, if it was a surprise to him. I don't know.
He probably knew, but
I don't know.
I mean, yeah, he had to have known. He had to.
I love it.
It's pretty cool, though.
Good stuff.
I know. I can't get through it. I mean, I can't get through it, so it's hard. It's hard for me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, it's pretty legit.
Yeah.
Pretty funny.
All right, James, where can people find you on social media if they want to hit you up during the week?
At James Cush on Twitter.
You can find me at T Super Speedway on Twitter. You can find the podcast on Facebook at facebook.com/TheSuperSpeedway. Our website is thesuperspeedway.com. You can find the podcast there and also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and Anchor, wherever you found us today. Please subscribe. Continue to listen. Go on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you're listening. Leave us a rating or leave us a review. Give us a rating. All that stuff helps us out. And if you go to anchor.fm/thesuperspeedway, you can leave us an audio message, and we might just play it on the show. Maybe Watermelon James wants to drop a line on there. Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
As long as it doesn't reveal. We don't want to put some like effect on your voice or something so we don't know who it is. Because I don't
like one of those remember the old newsreels back in the day where people would be like as a shadow and their voice would be distorted?
That's what right? we need. I got rid of the effects. I can do that with my soundboard now, but I
there you go.
I turned the effects off. So I'll have to add those next week and I can do that. We can be witness protection.
Oh boy. Oh man. We'll see.
All right, Circuit of the Americas this weekend. We'll be back next week to break it all down, talk about all the happenings on the road course, and then I think we're ready to preview the Easter weekend at Richmond right after that. Isn't that next?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yep, for Easter weekend, yeah.
If we don't have momentum going now, we certainly are going to stall it out the next 2 weeks, but that's okay. It's NASCAR, so we'll be back next week to break it all down. Until then, everybody, let's go racing.